everything that God has written must come to pass. And even though in other ages men have understood this scripture in the 17th chapter of Revelation, even though that's true, still in our day it's about to come to pass, therefore it's more critical or vital. And there are a lot of people then that teach on these things. And I believe that God is preparing us as a bride. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So it's important that you understand the symbolism. It's not a type or a shadow like the Old Testament. It's actually language which we can easily interpret because the whole Bible tells us the meaning. And the Bible is its own interpreter. It interprets it for us, so we don't have to guess. Nevertheless, we live in such a way that the mystery is hidden from the world, from the profane, but it's revealed to the children of God. So it's no mystery to you. It's apocalyptic. It's something that's been hidden but revealed to the sons of God. So you need to know how the world is made, how the world is constructed, how the system of the world, and nobody has this. No matter what, if you get this a little bit wrong, you get it completely wrong. So you have to identify these four items. There are four items in the world that are critical and crucial, and if you get them right, you can understand. So I'm going to number these items up here so that you can see them. You can number them any way you want to, but just for our convenience, I'm even going to name these things. This one I'll call Rome, and then I'll call that one Rome 7, Rome number 7. Okay, and I'll call this one Rome, and I'll call that Rome 6. And this one I'll call Greece, and I'll call that one number 5. And I'll call this one Persia, Medo-Persia. Persia, I'll call that number 4. And I'll call this one Babylon, which is really an interesting name. I'll call that number 3. I'll call this one Assyria. Call that number 2. And I'll call this one, the very first one, Egypt. And that'll be number 1. So now we have a scarlet beast, which I'll call Rome. But I'll call it number 8. Okay, so now you see a beast system of how the world is put together biblically. Now you can also study Psalm 2, where it says, "Be wise, O kings of the earth." So here are the kings of the earth. "Be wise, O kings of the earth, and kiss the Son while he may be found. O kings of the earth," you know, why do you conspire and why do the nations gather together? What are you doing? What are you doing? "Against the Lord and his anointed." So the purpose of the nations gathering together is to go against the Lord and his anointed. So there's two systems in this world. One is the beast system, which is also an alliance between the false church and the true church. They have an alliance. So there's an alliance here, an allying, a coming together of two different systems. The one system is called the kingdom of darkness, and the other system is called the kingdom of light. But you'll notice here that there's a difference. While before Jesus' return, there's a difference, a separation here between the bride and government. There's a separation. So there is no separation here. They cooperate and work together. But over here, there has to be a complete separation. And I'm just going to make this whole thing here. I'm going to make this separation here. Now watch. You have to, in order to be part of the bridal church, which is us, we're part of the bridal church, you have to come out from all of these. You have to be separate from, and I'll number these then. This will be number one. And this will be number two. I'll use Roman numerals just to keep it clear. Number two. So this will be number one. And or I could make this one number three. It doesn't make any difference. Number three. I'll make this one number two. And I'll make this one number four. Okay. Now, number four and number two go together, and number one and number three are not exactly together, but they're, you have to separate one from three. Because God tells us we're the called out ones. So let me see if I can find another color here. The called out ones. Where's a good color? I'll just use this purple, I guess. Okay, so you got to be called out from this world, so you have to be separate. So the church is called ekklesia. Ekklesia. Ekkaleo. Ekklesia. Okay? And that means out called. Called out. So the church is called out of the world. But part of the world is just government, and part of the world is tyranny or beast. And you got to be called out of that too. So whether it's just government or whether it's beast, you got to get out of the world. So I'm going to write down tyranny, despotism, tyranny, despotism. So bad government or false government, which is no government at all in the sight of God, is just a tyranny. It's a de facto government, but it's not a de jure government. So that goes all the way back in time to Nimrod, which is another name for Narmer, the first pharaoh of Egypt. Because these are kings. And so Narmer is the very first pharaoh. However, Narmer is the pharaoh in Egypt that united the two kingdoms together from Upper Nile and Lower Nile and brought them together. So he is Menes, M-E-N-E-S, or he is Narmer, N-A-R-M-E-R, which is Nimrod, which means the rebellious leopard. So Nimrod in the Hebrew is the same as Narmer in Egyptian. So Narmer and Nimrod, that is the exact same person. So the very first beast government in the world where Nimrod was the emperor, the very first emperor of the world, is opposed to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thanks, Dave. Now, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords belongs to Jesus, you see, but he has not yet come. You see, here he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but he hasn't yet taken the throne here. So there's a separation here. But later there'll be a marriage. But that, he's betrothed now, but he isn't yet ruling on the earth. So the earth is still common, secular, and temporal. And so the government of Jesus will not be the government of this world. But some of the kings kissed the Son while he may be found, Psalm 2. And other kings not only don't kiss the Son, but they conspire against good government. They conspire against God's government. And it says in 1 Samuel, it said that if you're going to rule over men, you must rule justly in the fear of God. You must rule justly in the fear of God. So a king that is just is a limited government. This is an unlimited government. And part of the unlimited is to join itself with the harlot or the whore. And so you have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome, and then Rome, and then Rome. Now you see the last three are all the sixth kingdom. 666. Did you see that? In other words, this is number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, but then six resurrects itself. It's a wounded head that's healed somehow, and it becomes the Holy Roman Empire, and then it becomes the new world order of our day, which has been announced. So they've already announced, and there cannot be another, because Daniel tells us that starting from Babylon, number three, prior to Israel, prior to this, Israel was not in exile. Israel was an innocent victim here, and God took them out so that he could rule them. But then they began to be naughty, and Assyria took the northern kingdom and separated it from the southern kingdom. That is the kingdom of Judah. They put that into exile. But the northern kingdom went away first, and then under Assyria, and then the southern kingdom fell, Judah, and they went into Babylon. So here, while their father, the children of Israel, were in Egypt, they conceived of themselves as innocent, as though God took them out of Egypt because they were innocent, but they weren't. And there they made their big mistake, and that's why they ended up in Babylon. Because when you think you're innocent and not guilty, and then all you want is God with his powerful right arm to deliver you and take you out of the bad Pharaoh, then you have the idea that God took you out because you were holy. And in one sense they were, and in another sense they weren't. And he even told them, don't think I've brought you out because you're bigger than, greater than, more holy than any other nation. This is for Abraham's sake, who had faith. And if you make that mistake, you will end up in the world. You'll end up not a holy people, but united. And so this is the whore of Babylon that is the mother of all harlots. So this is the false church, not bridal, because she's not holy. And she opposes herself to this bridal church who is holy. Now, you can tell the bridal church because she's holy, spiritual, and eternal. And that's opposed to even this good government here, which is common, secular, and temporal. But that's opposed, though the good government is not government that's holy, spiritual, and eternal. Good government, secular government, is, though it's common, secular, and temporal, it is not beastly, idolatrous, immoral, and here, unjust. So here you have some injustice, even though it's common, secular, and temporal, and not holy, spiritual, and eternal. Here you have, but at least this government is not tyrannous. It's a true government that God intended, but it's temporal. But this one should not be joined together with it. So they fight each other. This government here has a sword, and its whole purpose of its sword, I'll make a sword here, the whole purpose of its sword is to fight, let's see, I'll make it here, is to fight the beast. So here's this sword here being used to fight this beast here. Now, if it uses its sword correctly, it leaves the church alone. The called out ones, I'm going to call them leave alone. Leave alone. In other words, don't make any laws that would join. Leave them alone. Don't make any laws that would join them. Leave alone. And it's freedom. This bride is free. Everything else is bondage. But this government here is a free government. It's a constitutional government. It's free and it's constitutional. So here we'll write down free government. And the only thing that can make a free government is to let the church go free. So free, I'll just write G-O-V-T. That's abbreviation for government. Free government. The thing that makes, I'm sorry if you guys are sitting in the wrong spot, you might want to move over, because this is important to get all of this in. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One is the only thing that'll produce a three. You cannot have a free government unless there's a free church. And it's the free church that insists upon freedom. A free church insists upon freedom. I insist upon freedom. If I am the only one on earth that insists upon it, I can still win. Because it agrees with God. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So that is a great encouragement to a Christian, is that because I'm a Christian here, individually, belonging to the church of Jesus Christ, belonging to God's holy kingdom, so this is called the kingdom of God. I'll write this up here. This is the kingdom of God. Only this. This is the kingdom of God. It's set up this way, that even though Jesus is invisible to this world, he's not ruling America, he's not ruling Europe, he's not ruling China right now. Even so, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this is the true King right here, King of Kings. He's the Emperor, and he has to then oppose Nimrod and his system. So he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's not yet ruling on the earth. He's only ruling in his church because this is the holy nation. So the churches of the kingdom of God are opposed to the kingdom of this world, or the kingdoms, because you can have many of them. You notice how many of these dumbs there are. There are kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ are opposed to the kingdoms of this world. And there is no necessity for the whore of Babylon. There's no necessity for tyranny. Those things are rebellious against God. And they only come about, and that's why it's now an anti-Christian. It wasn't anti-Christian when it was Egypt. There was no Christ at that time announced. It wasn't anti-Christian under Assyria or Babylon, Persia, Greece, until you got to Rome. Now, this is ancient Rome, the time of Caesar. And that's when Jesus came. Now, notice, when he came, five kingdoms, I don't know how I can do this, so maybe like this here. By the time Jesus came, when the book of Revelation is written, it's the sixth kingdom. The sixth kingdom was now on the earth, and we can name it. We know exactly what it is. Daniel talked of four kingdoms, but Daniel lived at the time of the third kingdom, Babylon. He called that the first kingdom, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So he named those four kingdoms. One was gold, one was silver, one was brass, and one was iron. And the iron, in its last, if you go all the way to the bottom of the statue, its legs are split like this. So under the Roman government, there was a split. Now, the feet are made not out of iron, but iron and clay, which doesn't make for a strong base. So the problem with this statue that he built out of all these eight different figures, the problem with it is that the feet were weak. And that which was born here or came forth here in the fullness of time was a rock that was so ancient, because this lamb is actually the cornerstone upon which the world was built. And he's the measure by which everything is shalomed. Now, I'm saying a lot of things that you haven't heard before, no one's ever taught on them before, but it's too late now to keep all these things kind of to ourselves. I must declare them, because this is what the Bible is talking about to understand it. So Egypt is the first kingdom, Assyria the second, Babylon the third, but that's the first of Daniel, the second is Persia, the third is Greece, and the last one is Rome. But Rome is a different or diverse beast from the others, because the others didn't resurrect. So it's a beast that when you kill it, it still has a wounded head that's healed, and then it keeps going. And the eighth beast, or the eighth kingdom, is actually the beast himself, because this whole system is one. And this system has only one goal, against the Lord and his anointed, you see, to destroy this woman with her child, who is this lamb. But you see, it's actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was before the foundation of the world. So even though he was brought forth during the sixth kingdom only lasts a while, and then a seventh, which doesn't last very long, which was the Emperor Constantine, by the way. The Emperor Constantine turned it into the Holy Roman Empire. But that is gone now, and that's been replaced, and now a new world order has come, which is also Roman. And so you cannot have a fifth beast. You cannot have it. Daniel said, then the end will come. And he told exactly when it would come. Therefore, we know what time it is. And the book of Revelation fills in all the details. But remember, there are 10 toes, which are the 10 kings. So the 10 toes in the weak, mixed kingdom is describing the last kingdom of the beast itself. Because we've already ended with Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and Rome. We've already ended with all those. But at the time Revelation was written, five had fallen. Okay? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. But Rome was now ascended, and it said it was the sixth beast, but then there'd be another one that would last for a little while. Why only a little while? Because it's only 1,000 years. And now we have another one. And this will be the last one. And under this last one, Israel will go through the furnace over and over again, because she had to go through from the time that Jesus came. She had to go through three more times. She'd been through four times. Now, every one of those kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, tried to destroy Israel. But they didn't work. And you remember, she went into bondage here in Egypt, and then Assyria took the northern part, but it didn't take the southern part. So then they went into full Babylonian bondage. And that's when the whore of Babylon, which is number three, appeared. Couldn't have appeared because it's not the whore of Pharaoh. It's not the whore of Egypt. It's not the whore of Assyria. But it's the whore, because that was the bride. God himself took Judah for his bride to say, this will be true Israel, for out of what? Out of Judah will come forth the ruler. So Yeshua, HaMashiach, our king, the Lamb of God most holy, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that's why you can tell, because this is the true trustee. This is the one that lays down his life for the sheep, the good shepherd. So he's a true king. So this lamb kingdom situation here will have to be transformed by him, so that when Jesus came, all governments now are anti-Christian if they oppose him. But be careful, because the whore of Babylon can look Christian too. So many Protestants today are whorish, and Catholics are whorish, and the Orthodox Church is whorish. Why are they whorish? Because they have an alliance with, they are part of the system of this world, and therefore they're against the true Christian church, which is a free bride. The bride that is spotless, without spot. When Jesus comes back again to become the King of Kings, he will take to himself, first of all, the bride, who he will have left now for 2,000 years, 2 days. And on the third day, he will return. Anytime on the third day. Nobody knows what time it is, but in 1996, that was already... we're already into the millennial time, and he could come any time during this millennium, because this special time, we're waiting for a 3.5-year period, which will be the troubling of Jacob. Okay? So that's called the Great Tribulation, where Israel will be troubled one last time. That will be her 7th time in the furnace that someone has tried to destroy her completely off the face of the earth. It's happening now. The towers that fell in 9/11 are a rehearsal for the, it's a signal, it's a trumpet sound. That was a trumpet sound that day when you saw it. I saw it and I trembled, and I knew right away it was apocalyptic. I knew this is the end of the end. Or let me put it this way, it's not the end, but it's the beginnings of the end. These are the sorrows that are coming on the world. But don't call them the end yet. So now the explanation of these things, which I have studied over and over and over and over again, I've read everything upside down and backwards to try to understand this system of how it works out and what time it is right now in the world. So this pyramid system, which is called the gates of hell, Jesus said, oh, that won't prevail against the church of God. So there's no way. When Jesus builds his church, it's building. And he's coming back for that bride without spot, without wrinkle. Well, where are we? Today, we're still in the Babylonian whore system, and we've come out. I remember when I first left the church I was part of, I thought, now I'm out of the whore. And then I found out I went right back into the world and tried to align myself with the world. I got right back into the beast system, and they don't let you go. Once you tie yourself to that tar baby, you can't get yourself easily out. They won't let you go. They want you. So, but I know they can't keep me. Why? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail. So if I want to come out, I gotta come out from this girl right here. I gotta come out. It says, come out from the midst of her. That's Revelation 18, the next chapter, which I'm not gonna read. 18:4. Come out from the midst of her, my people, lest you partake of her sins and of her plagues. She sinned, and now she's gonna have plagues on her. No, don't touch her. Get away from her. And I gotta come out from tyranny, because I can't be part of this beast system. Messing around with the bad kingdoms of this world. So I don't want to be part of this new world order, this new 666 system. But I also can't be part of this world either, but I'm not against it. I'm just not part of it. I have to be separated. So here, there's a separation here. Separation. That's the way to get out, is be separated. So be ye free, be ye called out. You got called out from the world. Ekklesia, leave us alone. Don't touch us. So a just government is one who will not sleep with the bride. A just government is one that will not touch God's kingdom, God's house, God himself. Don't touch anything of God. It's holy, and you're a common. It's spiritual, you're secular. It's eternal, you're temporal. Don't touch. So this kingdom must protect the church by saying every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So that sets the church free. And it says that the general powers of government, this I'm reading right out of the Constitution of Texas. I don't even need to see the American Constitution, because the church is not part of America, because there you can't have an established church. These are all established churches. These are the established churches of Babylon, established by what? By law, by the beast. So established by law, like the King of England, established by law. The Church of England was established by law. The Presbyterian Church, established by law. The Lutheran Church, established by law. Those are all church and state joined, feudalistic, Babylonian, all part of this world. And we're called to get out of there. Remember, that started way back here in the Seventh Kingdom, when Constantine put together the church with the state. I mean, before it was, the church used to be hated by the state. Remember the Romans? They were killing off Christians, putting them to the lions, you know, killing them off, trying to kill them. Well, it didn't work. So Constantine said, hey, if you can't beat them, join them. And so he joined them together, and he became the first Holy Roman Emperor. He really wasn't, but he put up the concept of it. And Charlemagne was actually the one that called himself in 800 the Holy Roman Emperor. He was the first one, and Pope Leo at that time stuck the hat on his head, and he became then crowned. So now the state can't operate without the church, and the church can't operate without the state. How can you be a bride if the world supplies your needs? The state was now defending the church, and the church was now defending the state. It legitimized all the kings of the earth. And so now Charlemagne was, he's just another king, but the Pope made him an international king of kings. So he became another bad guy. But that started with Constantine, who joined the first thing together, and he started the seventh empire right there. And now, so you have all of these kingdoms that are rising up one after another, and they're all heading for this beast itself, Rome. Rome is the beast itself. So let's read the scripture now, and now you have a background for how the game is played. This is the game that the world is playing. This is the political systems of this world. The kingdoms of this world are opposed to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, number one, stands alone. Friend is that the world, but it's a friend only to leave her alone, not the friend to help her. You can't help God's bride, because if somebody tries to rape her, it isn't the American government or the Texas government that can save the church. No. It's God himself. We don't need the world to protect us. We just need them to leave us alone. And so no law should be made to try to make us file a form, pay a tax, be any part of this world, anything, to do a public act, to be part of the agency of the government, and so on. All of these things are done in number two, joined with number four. So the minute that the church yields, the state becomes a devil. It becomes a beast. It becomes a tyrant. So I want to help the state, otherwise it'll get in trouble. If it tries to rape me, if it tries to, you know, get me, I have all the power. It isn't the state that has any power. They can't do a thing. But if I yield to them voluntarily, if I yield to them voluntarily. So number four will persecute number one. Good. Now, I'll prove that I'm a true bride by letting them persecute me, but I'll never submit. Did you hear what I just said? This is why nobody wants to hear this message today. Too bad. Whether you want to hear it or not, a church that takes a 501c3, a church that takes incorporation into this world when you're the body of Christ and you're becoming part of the body of the state of Texas, a church that takes a local tax exemption, I don't need an exemption. I'm constitutionally immune. Why would I need a tax exemption, statutory, lower? I become a slave. I become a whore. I become part of this world. No. Stand up and suffer. That's the sign of a true church. And I thank God for David, because he's standing up right there with me. In fact, I'm putting him right out in front. Putting him right out in front. Let David get in trouble. Amen? Yeah, it's a good thing. Because they can't see David. And so, yeah, I'm retiring. I'm on Social Security. I'm okay. No, this is the time for the bride to prove to Christ when he comes back, no spot, no wrinkle, no such thing. He recognized right away she went through hell because she wouldn't submit voluntarily to that beast. That's how you know who the bride is. That's how the church is known. Now, they don't want to hear this message. They do not want to hear this message. This is not a good message for the church, because all of the church in America, once freed by James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to be incorporated. They didn't have to render a tax to Caesar. They didn't have to render unto Caesar anything that belonged to God. Now they all do, because they're afraid to dissent now. Because they know they'll be persecuted and hated and established part of this world. But God said, do not be conformed to this world. And God said, my God shall supply all your needs. So why do I need the state to help me out or give me their sword? Or I don't need any help from the state. Just leave me alone. Not for my sake, for yours. I'm not going to submit to you. You can rape me, but I'll cry out. And if I'm in the field and no one hears, God will hear. Because when you're in a beast system, nobody's going to hear you. But when you're in a true government system, someone will hear. Some girl's crying out. But I'm not crying out for help. I'm making a testimony. I am not voluntarily submitting to this beast. And I want him killed. Not to set me free. I'm already free. I belong to God, but God will use number two to set free number one, to leave him free, not to set him free, just to leave him free, to leave him free. Hey, we don't have any authority to do that. Get out. And number three will destroy and keep at bay and restrain the restrainer. You see that? Do you see that? The restrainer, Thessalonians. What is that that restrains? It's number three. Three is the restrainer. Do you see that? So the restrainer is now going to restrain this right here, this just government, which you didn't know what use it had. It's the restrainer. That which is in the way restrains. Who does it restrain? It restrains number four. So number four cannot get here. I should have written it over here. Restrainer. In other words, I'm going to limit the power of government to rape the church. So there's the restrainer right there. Whoa, you can't do that. Don't do that. This is God's bride over here. Leave her alone. Don't touch her. She's verboten. Don't try that. Don't do that. Amen? Now you understand how the world is totally put together. Bride versus whore and lamb versus beast. Even though Jesus is not yet reigning in the earth, he is reigning. You remember he said in Psalm 2, my king I have already set. This is 1,000 years before Jesus even came. My king, I've already set him on Zion, the rock of our salvation by which the world hangs. You kill him, you destroyed yourself, because he's the rock. You can't kill the rock. He rises up again because you can't kill him. Kiss that son. Quickly, quickly, kiss him, even though you just sinned. Kiss him quick. Why? Because he's going to come back, and he may have a little wrath now, but when his wrath is kindled just but a little, you better tremble, because that lamb can beat that beast day in and day out. So now, you kings, be wise. You've sinned. Okay, get back in your little place. You get back to common, secular, temporal. That's all you can do. Don't you dare try to touch my girl. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not of this world. My kingdom, he said, it's not of this world. That's how you know what a church is. A church is not what a church is. It's what it isn't. A church is what it isn't. It's not of this world. That's the only way you know a church. Not of this world. So, this kingdom over here, number three, is the restrainer that right now is restraining the beast. Because the Antichrist hasn't appeared yet. He has not yet come, but he's going to come any minute, any second, any day. When he does, he'll announce himself, I am the emperor. And now, one of the things he'll do is so funny. He'll overthrow the girl on his back. The girl, number two, actually helps him to become the beast. Because when the church is no longer bridal, but starts sleeping with the kingdoms of this world, committing fornication, then all of a sudden it becomes a beast in the eyes of God and a tyrant. So tyranny is not too many taxes or killing off good people. Tyranny is, don't touch my girl. One thing you do not do, when I set up a kingdom, leave it. So immediately all the kings of the earth, they go, hey, no, it's fair game for us. We can touch her anytime we want. We can make her bow. We can bow her down. We can get right on top of her. No, you can't. Now, anytime in the Bible that the beast and the whore are together, it was always the whore that winked at the beast. It was never the beast that grabbed the whore. You may not understand the power of a woman. Now, listen to me carefully here. It is not the beast that ever grabbed a hold of the whore. You may think, why can't he? He's a man. He'd just go and grab a hold of her. Uh-uh. It was always the woman that belonged to someone else that said, you know what, I think I'll try a few benefits from this guy right here. And he starts winking, holding hands, and talking. My wife, I don't let my wife do that. I don't let her talk to other men. She's not sleeping with him, but she's talking to him. I don't let her. Hey, Peg, you know, stop that. No, don't go and hold hands. Well, we didn't do anything. We're just holding hands. Oh, no, you don't touch anything. No touch. You see that? I'm jealous. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want her even, you know, showing her eyes, you know, anything. You can just see the slits in there. He's looking out. Hide yourself from this world. So the church, you can't even talk to us. You can't even tell us who we are. You can't regulate us. You can't name us. You can't talk to us. You can't make us get a 501c3. You can't force us, compel us, you know, do anything. Get off. Get away. You remember when this king, his name was Ahasuerus in Persia, married Esther, and Haman, who was close to this king, started talking to her and pleading with her, and the king was out of the room at the time. And he came back in and he saw this guy right on top of his wife. Now, he wasn't doing anything, but he was too close. And the king didn't care about the story. Ah! He was raged. Get off! And that guy was his best friend. He lost his life right there. Get off my wife. He wouldn't listen to him. Ah, there's a good king. You see, he understood limit. He understood jealousy. He was a picture of God's jealousy for his wife. You don't get too close like that. She's the queen. But I'm your best friend. I'm your top person. I don't care who you are. Get off. Oh, I tell you, the rage. It said when he came in, his face was flush. It was raged with fire. You haven't seen God yet. You don't know how rageful a lamb can become. We have never seen a lamb like that. When he came the first time, he was a lamb that was slaughtered. But when he comes the next time, though he's a lamb, he will also be the lion of the tribe of Judah. He'll come with fierce power, and he'll destroy that guy with the word of his mouth and the sword that comes out of his mouth to destroy her. Now, are you ready to read Revelation, the 17th chapter? So let's read the 17th chapter. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, this is John, this is at the time of the sixth kingdom, right? I've told you what time it is. This is the time of Caesar's. So he came at that time, and this is at the end. By the way, there have been many Caesars all, and this was probably at the time just before the turn of the first century when John was just about dead. John was just about dead, but he's still alive at this point. And he gives him a vision before his death of the rest of the world. John sees everything that's going to happen in the rest of the world, including the next 3,000 years. So that was in that time, I'm sorry, the next 3,000 years. Yeah, at that time, there was just 100 A.D. or 96, they say, might have been the exact date. And I think that might be true. 96 A.D., just right then, just before Trajan, he's going to be the next emperor. And just at that time, right there, at that time, he says to him, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. Now, at that time, the Jewish people were, what were they doing during the first century? It's after 70 AD. They've already been destroyed as a nation, knocked down. And yet they keep whoring. They keep playing with the beast, but they're called the separated one. Pharisee means separated. They aren't separated, though. They were already whoring at that time because they had become anti-Christian. They weren't now, against the world. They were against this other little Jewish group called Christians. That was the group they were against. Why? Because it was the bridal church of God, the holy nation. You shall be a royal priesthood and holy nation. So the only nation in the new world, after the 3,000 years, the only nation will be number one. There won't be a number three. There won't be a number four, and there won't be a number two. They'll all be gone. So at this point, history isn't over. At this point, we're still in history. We're still in time. And the Lord hasn't come back again to set up the millennial rule, which is still in time. So the book of Revelation is about that 1,000 years, which we've already started now, time-wise. But you don't know what point in the day he'll actually rise from the dead. You don't know on the third day exactly what time, but it'll be early. It's very soon. I don't know exactly what time myself. It could be this fall. It could be tonight. It could be any time now that the Antichrist could suddenly take over, suddenly. And all of a sudden, there he is. Nobody knows right now. But we could be looking at the fulfillment of this scripture right now. That's why I said that Jesus said to me in December of last year, 2008 will be the time when I restore pure worship to my churches. Huh. That would be bridal. No 501c3, no mixing with this world. You've got to be pure. He's not just talking about our little church. He's talking about churches. He's talking about churches. I'm excited about that because the church should be a light to this world of darkness. Salt to cut through and preserve and to bite into the kingdoms of this world. And you don't know how powerful a bride can be by saying, no, I belong to another. And God's looking down to see if she's got a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. And even though she may have been harlotress in the past, she can repent. How many know that the way you become a bride and free is through the blood of Jesus, which cleanses you and washes you, no matter how wrong you've been? There's always a way back to the bridal church. Come out from the midst of her. That means they were in her. Come out from the midst of her. That means they were inside of her. So the church today, bridal church, has to come out of two. One comes out of two in order to make a three, which can defeat a four. But you can't have a three without a one. But you can't be a one unless you were already a two. The early church was pure, but it soon became whored by the time of Constantine, when they set up the seventh kingdom. All the way while the first kingdom was the sixth kingdom, that's the time of the Caesars. As long as the Caesars were in power, 10 times, listen carefully, 10 times from Jesus until Constantine, sixth kingdom, the church was almost destroyed 10 times by imperial policy. In other words, there were 10 great tests. Remember, 10 days they were tested? 10 times the early church. This is standard history in any history book. You can read it. I mean, there's no secret to it. That emperor so-and-so, Nero, he was one of those, and so on. There were those little things where Christians were destroyed by the Roman Empire, and Nero was determined, I'm going to kill them all. And then another guy after him, and another guy after him, and another guy after him. 10 times it happened for a couple hundred years there. Yet, the church survived. The Jewish church became whored because she was the original whore out of Babylon, number three. The church wasn't even there then. That was the church in the wilderness. That was the church Moses set up in the wilderness to be a light, to be salt. They were to be the light of the world. They were to be the salt that would be sprinkled throughout the earth. And now indeed they were dispersed among the nations, but they whored. Wherever they went, they whored. They did their business. They did their religion on the surface and their business underneath the table. If the church is a money-making machine where the pastors are, you know, getting big homes and, you know, driving beautiful cars and so on, and that's their heart, no, that's not the church. That's not the church. That's a church that doesn't want to suffer. That's a church that doesn't want to stand up for Jesus. That's a church that is mouthing, great mouthing things, but they're blaspheming the name of Jesus. And the world itself is disgusted with that church. And that's why the beast will throw off the harlot. It's the beast itself that's going after the false church. They're not going after the true church. They may try to get the true church along with them, but I'm going to cry out, hey, I'm not one of them. We belong to Jesus. Well, I don't care who you are. You're going to suffer. Okay, I'll suffer. I'm not scared to suffer. In fact, I love suffering. Go ahead. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll object. I'll cry out. The others, you can take easily because they are the ones that winked first. But we ain't winking. Isn't that powerful? We're going to say a shibboleth. We're not going to say sibboleth like those girls. We're going to say shibboleth. Why? That's the way to say it. When it's dark out, you can't tell who the good guys and the bad guys are. There's a confusion in the land today, which is the true church. I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian. They're all Christian. Everybody's Christian. Everybody's Christian. We're a Christian nation. We're Christian. Everything's Christian. They're not Christian. That's not Christian because there's no bride there. There's whorishness. A whore is not a bride. That's a woman that belongs to another man who's now sleeping with another man. Her husband will have to, he can't, no, he's not coming back for that girl. When he sees that girl, he'll throw her off. But he doesn't have to, because number four will do it for him. Isn't it amazing that the girl that slept with the beast and made the beast what it is? There could be no international business today without the papacy, without the Jewish moneylenders, without all the stuff that's going on. And the church today lets it happen. That's where you make your money. There's the legitimizers of all the filthy stuff that's being done. It's the church. Behind all business is Muslim. It's Christian. It's Jewish. It's Hindu. It's Buddhist. It's money. They are love with mammon. You're either going to be loving God and you don't care about mammon, or you're going to love mammon. That's how you can tell. That's how you can tell. They're into buildings. They're into, fine silver and gold. And this woman has a cup in her hand. It's a golden cup. Let's read about that. With whom? Okay, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Now, waters means peoples, nations. So the waters are not very solid ground. The kingdoms of this world are temporal. They're shakable. They're shakable. All that can be shaken will be shaken. So this girl sits on waters. She's not walking on water. She's sitting on this beast that's on the waters. It's a beast over all of the nations. So we can see this new world order is a beast that sits on the nations, upon whom is the queen that's sitting there with her cup in her hand, and it's a golden cup, and she's got all kinds of jewels and so on. You can tell she is a wealthy church. I'll just tell you something right now, we're not. We didn't make it. David, sorry, we're running out of money. Just let you know. We're having trouble here. Praise God. It's just not. It's the gas prices. That's what it is. We're just having trouble. We're having trouble. No. You see, God is separating out that which is His from that which is not His. It belongs to this world. Render that to Caesar. The whore belongs to Caesar. Let her render. But the bride renders unto God and no one else. She's pure, spotless, holds herself off. At what cost? She doesn't care. Not going to say yes. Do you all understand? Very dangerous teaching, very difficult teaching. It's easy to say it now. There's no sweat to it. But I'll tell you, in the future, when things turn and you see the beast itself rising up, you'll know the end is near. Because when that 3.5-year period comes and the Antichrist himself rises up, you will then know who is the bride and who is not. And God will have witnesses. He'll have witnesses during that time. There's no rapture of the church. The church will not be raptured out. During that 3.5-year time, the church, which is the bride, is the main event. And she will then oppose. She'll be opposed by this girl. Number two will persecute number one. Number four will persecute number one. Number two can only persecute if it has the power of number four behind it. So the false church with the false state, both of those are rejected by God. They have no future at all. And the true kings of the earth, they will be weighed later in the balance to see whether they feared God or not. It's what did you do with my son? And what did you do with his wife? What did you do with his betrothed? Oh, we didn't touch her. Ah, then you will be commended as a king of the earth, but you're still only temporal. You're still only common. You're still only secular. You belong to this world. And you'll have to perish with this world. But you'll be commended by the Father because He raised up. You say, well, I'm offended by that. Well, no. The kingdoms of this world have to be transformed. They can't come in as common, secular, and temporal. Let us now witness then to number three. Let us witness to number four and testify against her. Let us witness to number three, two. Two, three, and four. We have to witness to all three, especially to Israel. Why? Because all Israel hasn't yet gone through that furnace and hasn't yet turned back to the Lord whom she pierced and cry out for mercy. And when she does, then our mercy will make her jealous and she will return to Yeshua HaMashiach. And she will sing out. So we have a special interest in Israel. We have a special interest in the world. We have an interest in the wicked world. We have an interest in the good government. We have a witness to everybody, even the false church, even the whore of Babylon, plus all her daughters, plus all her granddaughters. We got a lot of people to witness to. Wow, what a mission. And do you realize right now the church is witnessing everywhere in the world and is winning, is not losing? But it's a bridal church that is prevailing right now. And the nations of the world do not even notice it. Do they even understand what's happening? Nation after nation is coming to Christ. There are people, just floods of people, a remnant a leftover small group out of Brazil, out of Peru, Argentina, Honduras, Mexico, everywhere, everywhere you go, China, India, Russia, I don't care where you go, Africa, Uganda, I don't care where you go, everywhere, a great harvest is coming forth. The nations are being shaken. And all of a sudden, while you're not paying attention, and we're here just trying to get people to become Christians, and then after they're Christians, to become disciples, and after they're disciples, to become mature, and after they're mature, that they can become lovers of God and testify, worshiping God with pure worship, loving the brethren, and testifying to this wicked world. While we're doing that, the rest of the world is being reaped. They just got in yesterday. They don't even know anything. They were just yesterday worshiping Buddha, and today they're worshiping Jesus. They don't even know anything. It's time to reap the great harvest. The sickle is being brought to bear right now. But the Antichrist hasn't risen up yet. And it's not time yet for the full harvest. Not yet time. The harvest hasn't come. But soon, soon, soon. So sharpen the tools right now. Get the tools sharpened up. That's what we're doing. Getting the tools sharpened up. We're not fighting anybody. We don't need to fight anybody. We just need to stay clean, stay clear, stay away, stay free. Who will protect us? Only God in heaven. Only God in heaven. Only God in heaven. You have no human help. You don't need the government. I don't need Texas. We don't need America. We don't need the Constitution. We don't need anything to protect us. It's just that God gave those gifts to do so. And if you'll be a bride, you'll have a protection. But if you don't want to be the bride, you won't be protected. For why do you want to be free? So you can debauch? So you can get 501c3s? So you can get all the benefits from the world? Is that why you want to be free? He'll never defend such a church. That is not his church. So he'll let that church go under the beast, and they are falling like flies. The IRS is gathering them up right now. There are thousands and thousands of new lawyers whose only job and purpose today is to sue churches. And they're going after every single church, starting with the big ones. They're not starting with little fellows like us. They haven't gotten around to us yet. They're building their case. And there are many churches today that are shut down because of pedophilia, or because of homosexuality. They're all the number two churches, and they're going one after another. And they just bring them in and plant them in there and then go and take them and take their money. They just break them. They're just going in right now. They're going to go after every ministry that has anything to do with this world. They won't go after the true bride. They're only going after those that have already allowed them to come in with their fire extinguishers and, you know, whatever else. And, oh, we have a right to come in here. No, you don't. Get out. This is our land. No, you don't own this land. Well, I don't care about owning it. We're using it. We're the occupiers. So get away. We don't need any one of this or one of that or this and that and so on. We don't render unto Caesar. Do y'all understand? But today they just run amok. They don't care. You're just another public charity. You're just another thing of this world. You're just a common thing, a secular thing, a temporal thing. You have no holiness to you, no spirituality to you, no eternity to you. There is no fear of God. There is no respect because the bride has now become a whore. Come out from her, from the midst of her, my people. So here he says, you want to see her judgment? You want to see the judgment of number two? Come, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So she's got wine. She's got wine. This girl's got some wine to give. Oh, that's what harlots do. They get the guy drunk. No, it's the guy that gets the girls drunk. Not today. No, you don't understand. It's a two-way deal. It's a two-way deal. That blunts them down. Not thinking anymore. Not thinking, hey, we're joining into the world. And the Christians today, oh, they're loving to work with, you know, the American flag and, you know, Jesus and the American flag are all joined together. Hey, we're a Christian nation. No, we're not. Never have been and never will be. There's only one holy nation. Peter, chapter 2. An holy nation. You be a royal priesthood, a separated people. Come out of the world and you will be the only holy nation. God only has one holy nation. It's the church. It's number one. Number one is the only holy nation. And when this world is over, there won't be anything else. 2, 3, and 4 will all be gone. They'll all be gone. They'll be gone. There is no future for the civil government. The communists are a little early. They thought, we'll start that heaven on earth right now. Okay, play God. You see how far you'll get because God's already laughing at you. He holds them in derision, Psalm 2. He laughs at them. What are they doing? Oh, they're against the Lord and his anointed. Oh, they're going to destroy the Lord and his anointed. I'll tell you something right now. He laughs at them. He laughs at them. Says, well, what are you doing? Well, we're overthrowing the Lord and his anointed. Really? Well, that's cool. That's cool. And he's laughing at them because what can you do? He blows on them and they're gone. When he comes, now he's starting out with the girl. First of all, the girl is going to be judged. But God, who judges her, is using the world that she slept with to throw off the girl that he just paid. He just paid her, hey, thanks for making me king, and now that I'm done with you, get out. Whoa, what a thanks. I served you all those years. I prostituted myself for you. I turned against God for you. You should be thankful. Get out. Oh my gosh, she's betrayed by her own sleeper. The one she slept with. Isn't that amazing? That's a harlot. And that's the price of a harlot. She's not only hated by God, but hated by the very beast that she brought forth. Incestuous. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. I drew her up on the board. There's the woman sitting on a scarlet beast. And that woman on the scarlet beast was full of names. That beast was full of names of blasphemy. Here they are. These are blasphemous, evil names. Here they are. Seven heads and 10 horns. Huh. Wow. Numbers. Seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet. So I drew her purple and scarlet. She was adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, a name. So she has a name up on her forehead. Here it is. I'm the mother of harlots. This is the woman, and she's got her name written right on her forehead. You can see her by looking straight at her. She is a visible church, not invisible. This is a visible church. It's a church known to the world. I sleep with you, world. You cannot be a visible church in this world. The church is not allowed to be seen. She's only seen by her beloved. That's why the Muslims wear veils. They're correct to do so. But it's an old Oriental custom that when a man's wife goes out in public, she covers herself so that no other man can lust after her, look after her, see who she is. Well, I know the Muslims have messed that up, but the idea there was the same. Don't show yourself to other men and show off. The girls today show off. There's no modesty to them at all. They are showing themselves off, and whether they understand what they're doing or not, the guys do. They understand. You're public. You're not a private person. You're public. You're available. You're mine. I'll get you. She's advertising herself. So this woman, which is a church, has shown herself to the world, mother of harlots. And what else? The great Babylon the Great. There you know where she came from. Number three. The mother of harlots and of all the abominations of the earth. That is amazing that the false church is the source of all abominations on earth. What is abominable to God is that his bride should become unclean. She's clean. She must not be unclean. That's an abomination to God. You see that? You see that? Do you understand that? So an abomination is not she committed murder. Or, you know, that's not the abomination. What's abominable is you are to be my bride, my girl, and I'm jealous. You're no longer my girl. Get out. God will cut her off. But even the beast cuts her off and throws her away because she is the mother of harlots. And she's in a full of abomination. She's got a cup loaded with wine to make people drunk in this world, to opiate the people, as Mark said. That's the opium, that the church will prostitute itself for the kings of the earth to get rich with the riches of this world and to have the favor of the sword of God on her side to kill off all of her heretics, including the true church. the Catholic Church has always killed the true church. Did you just hear what I just said? The Jewish church has always persecuted the Christian church. And then the Protestant church began to kill off those that wanted to be free and not church-state. And it goes on, and it's not over, and it'll never be over. Because we are the true church, and we're going to be a church with pure worship, meaning nothing of man, and we're going to take nothing from this world. Then it'll be pure, and God will recognize, there's my bride, I'll protect her. God himself will defend the church, and God himself will supply. He defends her negatively, and he supplies positively. You don't need anything from this world. Don't fear this world. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No one will touch you, but are you pure? Because if you're not, I can't take you from the devil because you belong to the devil. You chose to go with the devil. It was your own choice. I gave you freedom, but you choose license. So he's calling us back. I hope you're enjoying this because it's powerful. That I'm just reading out of the Bible, just reading the words that are here in the Bible. Seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, filthiness of her fornication. Number five, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery. Mystery. You know why it's mystery? Because you can't understand what's really going on. The true church is not the true church. The false church is the true church. What? Not from the world's point of view, we're the false church. But from God's point of view, we're the true church. But from the world's point of view, that's the true church. But from God's point of view, that's the whore. It's a mystery. Oh, what's she doing mysteriously? She's making money, and she's joined herself with power. She's got the power of the king, and she's got the money from the merchant. And she's making them rich, and they're giving her the tithe. They're giving her the payment. And she's loving it. Oh, this is a lot better than suffering. Let's live it up. And so she's eat, drink, for tomorrow we may die. She's just having a good time in this world. Just enjoying herself politically, enjoying herself economically, enjoying herself, and her religion is working fine. It's just fine. Well, the world recognizes her as the true church. Yeah, that's a church. You know, if you look at the IRS listing of what a church is, yeah, that's a true church. Yeah, that she qualifies. She's qualified church. God doesn't qualify her. God qualifies a church that doesn't belong to this world. They said you should not be conformed to this world. You shouldn't even have a form. They don't tell me that in substance you're still a Christian, but in form you're getting a 501c3 and some tax exemptions and so on. Those are just little bitty form things. I don't care what you call it. That's not just clothing. That's who you are. You are dressed in fine clothing so you can get the benefits from this world. Don't take it. Don't touch it. No king has a right to give you that. Refuse it. That's a gift. Don't take it. He's just paying you off for sleeping with you. That's the payment. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Ah, who is it that kills the saints? The woman, drunk with the blood. You know who it is that turns you in? It's not the beast. The beast doesn't even care about you. Rome never cared about the Christians. Rome wasn't interested in, you know, blaming the Christians. That was just Nero himself, the emperor, who was a perverted guy, and that was one of his policies. Hey, I got to blame somebody. Let's blame this innocent one over here. So the church was destroyed by him. He had Christians in his garden. He had a little garden out behind his house. And he put the Christians there as light posts at night. He would soak them with oil cloths and then light them up. So they would be screaming while he was having parties and playing his violin and watching Rome burn. That guy was entertaining everybody. Hey, I got a new poem. Listen to these Christians. They're in the background keeping some little light on the thing here, making the mosquitoes go away. Let's there's one right there. She's a yeller. She doesn't like this burning stuff. He blamed the Christians, and the Christians got it. And they were wonderful. They were just the kind you could get. You believe in Jesus? Well, now right there. And they just give themselves away. What fools they were. Because they would keep themselves pure. And for that reason, they would be thrown to the lions, to the dogs, to whatever, to be destroyed. Did God not see that? Did God not see what Nero was doing? Did he not know what Diocletian was doing? Did he not know what Trajan was doing? Did he not see all those persecutions? Of course he did. But what the church was proving is, we won't bow no matter what. And they didn't divorce, I'm going to tell you right now. And they didn't allow all the stuff that goes on today in the church. They stayed pure to God. They kept to it. Today, everything goes. Today, the church is just the world. The world is just the church. It's the same. There's no difference. It's exactly the same. We must be a body, a people set apart for the Lord, holy, spotless, pure, spiritual, eternal. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So you see, this is not Old Testament. This is New Testament. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman." Oh, we're now going to understand the secret of this woman, who's number two up there. "And of the beast that carries her." That's number four up there. "Which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on earth will marvel." So this woman, he's just saying, she was and is, but will perish. Not going to live forever. She has no eternity. She's a temporal girl. That harlot, after a few years, her flower is gone. She doesn't look pretty anymore. Her mascara is running down her face. She's tossed off. "You're too old now. Get out. We need younger girls. We want someone youthful. Get out." And they'll kill the very church that slept with the IRS, that slept with the government, will now go down under the very people that she made powerful. Because they went along with it. They okayed it. Ah, there's treachery. And there's a true payment for a prostitute. "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." See, they were never known to God. He'll not recognize them. "Lord, Lord, we did miracles in your name." That doesn't make a church. "We did mighty wonders in your name." That doesn't make a church. "But we got people saved." That doesn't make a church. Were you holy? Were you pure? Did you stay free from this world? Well, we didn't do that, but we did all those other things. "Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never had intercourse with you. I never was intimate with you. You never prayed with me. You never talked to me. You were always off running around with other men. Go away." He comes back and he throws her off. He will not accept her. But before he even gets to her, her lovers have already cast her aside. Now will he purchase such a whore? Don't forget Hosea. Don't forget Hosea. One more time through the furnace, she'll be purified. The whore today could be the bride tomorrow. Do you hear me? Don't be too proud. "When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." So who is this beast? Who is this dragon? Who is this ancient serpent who has all these heads? Who has all these clients? Who is this international organization that sits on many waters? Who has the whore church, whether it be Jewish or Catholic or Protestant or Pentecostal or whatever? Who can join now suddenly with all the religions of the world? You know, when the IRS comes to a church, it puts you together with Masons, with other, you know, religions, and you're just one more of the whole bunch. You're all whores. Get in there. I want the form for me. Where's my form? Well, first of all, I'd never fill out a form. But give me my form. We don't have one for you. You're just the same as everybody else. Oh, well, we're all treated the same. Bow. I'll never bow. Show me the law that stands against me. There is no such law. I'll tell you that. That bride's going to get her face slapped. She's going to burn on one of those poles and light up the place. "You're the light of the world." There they were. I'll bet Nero actually read that scripture. "You are the light of the world." Here they are. Look at that. They're lighting up the world. Come on, world. Let's drink, eat, and be merry. I'll tell you, the world is scornful, mocking. You can hear it on CNN. You can hear it on ABC and NBC. You can hear the mockery against Christians, you phony fakes. And they're going after them. I'm telling you, they will throw over. They know that girl well. They know how phony she is. "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." Ah, so they're mountains, are they? What's a mountain? In the Old Testament, when it says mountain, It's talking about kingdoms. Seven heads are seven kingdoms. What kind of kingdoms? Kingdoms with kings over peoples, oppressing them like tyrants. So seven heads, seven mountains, seven crowns, seven. There it is. I thought that was a holy number. Now here it's unholy. But remember, there is an eighth. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, so that's number six, and the other has not yet come. That's number seven. Constantine hadn't come yet. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Remember, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So don't be fooled about short. The Holy Roman Empire was short at just 1,000 years. So from the year 330, when he first set up the new millennium, he called that the new millennium. I have two coins that are authentic coins from the ancient world that say on them the first year of the new millennium, 330. That was after Jesus. 330 years after Jesus. There it is, right there. So go forward 1,300 years to 1330, and you'll see then that all of a sudden a change was going to take place. And Martin Luther, in a very short time then, came forth, and he brought forth a reformation in the church. But before him, it was Wycliffe in the 1300s. And after him, it was John Huss. And they were preaching the same things that Luther was preaching. He was the morning star, they call him, of the Reformation. So after 1,000 years, all of a sudden voices began to rise up, and the bride was announcing, we're not part of the Roman Catholic Church. We're not part of this system of harlotry. We are striking out to go back to the original purity of the original church. 1,000 years back. Let's go back to the primitive church of the first century. Let's go back to the Bible. And they began preaching this new message, and the Romans began killing them off. They were called Lollards, the followers of Wycliffe. They were called Lollards. And every one of those people, they wanted to kill every single one. And they finally never did kill John Wycliffe. He was buried, and they put him, called him a heretic and all this stuff. He was buried, and years later, they dug the guy up and burned his bones. They were so mad that they hadn't burned him at the stake. He was protected. There was some protection for him. God provided. And they never did get Martin Luther. It's amazing. But they burned John Huss at the stake. And 100 years, 1417, 100 years before Luther, he cried out. Huss means goose. And so he made a hissing sound. Huss. And here's what he said when he was dying. You may kill this goose, but 100 years from today, a man will rise up, and that will be the swan. And he will sing a song that you'll never silence. Isn't that amazing? What a thing to say. In 100 years from now, and that's exactly when Martin Luther nailed the theses to the door of the church. Powerful. Powerful. There are seven heads. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is and not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. So there it is. Temporal. Because whorish. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received the kingdom. As yet. Not yet. But they shall receive authority for 1 hour as the kings with the beast. So at the end of time, which is now, at the end of time, ten kings will rise up, and they will all conspire together and give their power over to the beast. And there'll be two beasts. But that's another chapter. Today, we're just looking at this simple picture. Those 10 kings are like those 10 toes. And they will turn over. They are part of the old Roman Empire, and they will all turn over their power. So you can see Europe today completely captured by the Muslim peoples who are taking them over. They're getting rid of Jesus. They're getting rid of the Jews. They're getting rid of everything except Muslim. And they can't get rid of them. They can't stop them. They're throwing riots, and there's nothing they can do. They're trying to be tolerant. Oh, let's try to get along. Let's all try to be friendly and so on. And because they threw away Jesus, and because they're now enlightened, You know, they despise us Americans. They look down on us as stepchildren, as you know, ignoramuses, especially here in Texas. Woohoo! They hate us. They hate our guts down here because we're yahoo type people. We can't even talk, not even educated. They're so sophisticated, and they're going right down the drain because they feared not God. The Germans don't fear God. The Italians don't fear God. The French don't fear God. They're all going their own way. Even London no longer fears God. They've all debauched themselves, become completely secularized, and now the Muslims are taking them over, and their religion will now be Muslim religion. The very goal of the Muslims all the time was take Europe. It was never to take, you know, this and that and North Africa and so on. They always wanted to kill off the Roman Pope. So now the battle is between the Roman Pope, number two up there, and now this European. He's the soul of Europe. The Church of Rome is the soul of Europe. Not so. And what will happen today? She's going to fall. Fallen, fallen is Babylon. That's the next chapter. We won't read that part. It's a very powerful thing. They are all of one mind. 13. And they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb. So here you have these kings making war with the Lamb. They're against the church. And that's what's happening. That is Europe today. And the Lamb will overcome them. The Lamb will overcome them. Did you know another thing God has done while they're not looking? You may not notice this. There are a lot of black churches in Europe. They're not giving in. They're not afraid of Muslims, and they don't care about the sophisticated, you know, people. They have churches there, and they're full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. That's the only churches in Europe that are working are the black churches in London, the black churches in Paris, the black churches in Switzerland, the black churches in Italy. And I've been in some of them. They're powerful. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They're full of fire. They have numbers, big numbers. Europeans are dead. Only the blacks coming out of Africa, they are the ones that are raising up the standard. And they won't perish. And they're winning many whites, too. Many whites are now coming. The leadership has turned to Africa. You'll see the church in these last days, and you'll see Africans at the head leadership. Why? That's God's plan. He's always saved the best to the last. That which was despised and hated and rejected, God now brings forth. And so you're going to see new kind of leaders. These will make war with the Lamb, verse 14, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called chosen, faithful. That's the bride without spot or wrinkle. Then He said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. How many know that the church is made out of many peoples, many nations, many tribes, many tongues? You cannot have a bride without being international. It has to be an international church. It has to be South America. It has to be North America. It has to be Asia. It has to be Africa. It has to be Europe. It has to be China. It has to be all over, or it's not the Church of Christ. We didn't do that. God Himself has brought that forth. It's hidden. Nobody's even recognizing it. 30,000 people a day from China coming to Jesus. 20,000 a day in Africa coming to Jesus. 12 to 15,000 a day out of India coming to Jesus. 25,000 a day out of South America coming to Jesus. Every week, another million people added to Jesus. Powerful. You don't even know what's going on. You don't know because you're looking at America and they don't give you the news. You'll never learn anything that's going on. You see the Muslim thing, and you see America doing its own thing, and you see Europe, and you see nothing but death. Because you don't know that God, His truth, is marching on. His bride is coming forth. He's doing a great and mighty work in the earth, and the bride is making herself ready. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, and they will make her desolate. Now, they're not going after number one, they're going after number two. These beasts have gathered together because they can't overthrow her. The established church is powerful and strong in America, in Europe, wherever she is. They're going to throw her off. But the pure church, the true church, number one, is not even listed here. This is the harlot that's being thrown off, the false church. We don't have to even do anything. We don't have to overthrow her. All we have to do is stay free from her. Come out, lest you partake of her plagues and of her sins. Her plagues because she sinned. Get away from her. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose. His purpose. To be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. I'll tell you, this is powerful. You need to understand the book of Revelation. It is the only book that Jesus wrote. He didn't write Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Holy Spirit did. They're true. But he wrote this book. He dictated it. The Son of Man, who had risen from the dead, who had now become the Son of God in heaven again with all of his glory and splendor, reached down just before John died and said, John, I want to talk to you. I'm sending my best angel here. He's going to dictate my words to you. You write them down. That'll be the book I leave behind. The only book that Jesus wrote. That's the book Jesus wrote. Now, I know the other books are inspired of God, but I'm just going to tell you something. They weren't dictated by Jesus. They were things that people remembered Jesus said and wrote them down as the Holy Spirit recalled them to mind. But this book, he dictated. He said, listen carefully because I'm going to give you exact details as the Lord of the church, as the Lamb that's coming back to be your king. And I want my bride to remain faithful, to remain pure. And when I come back, I'll take her. And when he's coming back for his bride. This bridegroom will return to take his bride to himself, and he'll examine her. Who is clean? Who is not? He'll know exactly who has fooled around, who has been kissing, who's been hand-holding, who's been sleeping. He'll know exactly. I'll tell you, I don't want to be caught by him when he comes back because he's going to judge her with an exact judgment. Even the smallest spot he'll see on her dress. Oh, get out. What? Jesus, I was a Christian. I was spirit-filled. I went to Pastor Jim's church. No, really, seriously. It means nothing. You have a spot on you. You surfed the internet. You did this. You did that's a small thing. I said I was sorry. I think I did, didn't I? He is not going to fool around. He wants a bride that's pure. You all understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, don't think of the gospel all of a sudden. Think of the fact that this bride is going to be judged to see whether she sticks to the gospel. Because if you're beholding him, you'll be changed. If you're not beholding him, you'll just be the same. You'll look exactly like the whore that was thrown off by the beast. He's going to check out his bride. Hey, what kind of fruits do you have? What kind of worship have you been giving me? Oh, I didn't have time. I was too busy. Well, then you're spotted. You got wrinkles. There's some darkness in you. You didn't purify yourself. You forgot that I was coming? Did you forget I was coming? Oh, we just didn't know when you were coming. You should have. I wrote it down. I wrote everything down. You should have known exactly when I was coming. I'm telling you right now, as a prophet of God, he's coming soon. He is coming soon. I knew in my generation, I knew in my time, and I'm almost dead, but I knew he was coming soon. I don't know exactly what soon means, because that could be 1,000 years. I knew it was going to be soon. I knew that at least we're in the last 1,000 years, because I remember when he spoke that to me. I remember exactly. He said it 3 times. He is coming soon. He is coming soon. There were angels singing in a dream that I had where I was worshiping God in tongues, which I had never done in real life. And here I was in a dream kneeling before God at an arbor outside. And I heard the angels sing, he is coming soon, he is coming soon. Shortly after that, I left the Lutheran church. I remember that. It was all related. Somehow, I don't even know what my life means. All I can tell you is I'm his. I'm committed. I can't build on another foundation. It has to be pure. It has to be a city with foundation. That foundation's up in heaven. It's that King of Kings and Lord of Lords rock that was made before the foundation of the world. That's the foundation you got to be built on, the heavenly foundation that God laid. That was laid in Mount Zion. I laid in Zion a stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You'll enter into his rest. I'll tell you, I've had that. That is bridal. When you're part of the bride of Christ, you're at rest. You're not scared. You're not worried about this world. You're not afraid of the beast. You're not afraid of the whore. You're not afraid of anything. You just leave me alone. I belong to Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. I don't care about the other pastors, and I don't care what other churches are saying or doing. I'm doing it the way God wants me to do it. I only have one master, one Lord, one beloved, my bridegroom. I'm waiting for him. I know he's coming back, and he's going to question me first. The pastors are going to come forth, I know, before everybody else. He's not going to judge you first. They just ask you, now, who is your pastor? You know, write that down. Oh, my gosh. Please give a good report when he comes to you. Say, oh, Pastor Jim, you know, he was a mess, but, you know, he did always say Jesus. Praise God. Give a good report on that. I'm gonna mention, because he's going to ask me, now, who was it that belonged to you? Who was it received the word? Well, it wasn't everybody. There's some, though. Well, what are their names? He already knows. He's just checking. Just checking. And I'm going to have to tell him what I saw. I see a lot of people with two agendas. They don't have just one agenda. Jesus coming back. They got two agendas. Hey, what am I going to do while I'm here to take care of myself? I don't see that as part of the deal. You don't get to say, now, God, here's my deal, and now what do you want me to do for you? No, I don't hear that. I hear Jesus saying, seek first the kingdom. Forget everything else. Just go for the kingdom. I'll give you everything else. I'll give it to you, but you're not earning it. You're not going to get it, so don't go after it. I'll give it to you, but don't you dare go after it. That's a bridal church. When I meet pastors, immediately I feel their pride, their ego, their lust. I feel that they got two agendas, God's plus theirs. I have nothing to do with them. I don't want to be part of them. I don't want to be part of that deal. I don't want anything to do with that kind of pastor. That's why I don't go out to any pastors' meetings and stuff. I don't trust them. I don't trust the pastors. They're just worldly people. Yes, they got born again. I know they're probably believers, but I don't know what that means because they're not sanctified. They aren't burning to be like God. And when I see them talking about holiness, they just mean legalism. All they mean, they don't mean the Holy Ghost wrought works. They mean their own works for pride, their own works for ego and so on and so forth. I don't want any of that. I don't want that. I'm looking for somebody that's been burned over and over again and is rejoicing. The third world, why it's coming in so fast, you might wonder, why is the third world coming in so fast? I'll tell you why. Because when they come into the kingdom of God, it's suffering for them. It's pain for them. They chop their heads right off. It's not a blessing to them at all. They don't come in and get richer and better and smarter and greater. That message is flat. The message, when you see them coming in, their parents will kill them. If you're a Muslim and you accept Jesus Christ, you come home and your father will kill you. And your mother will denounce you. I know many Muslims. It's exactly why they're here in America, why they're not back in Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia. You do not live because you are no longer part of the Hindu religion or part of the Muslim religion or part of anything that cuts you off. So the best has been saved to the last. I believe we live in the best and the greatest of days. The Lord's about to return. The trumpet has sounded. I believe we're in the eighth kingdom right now. The eighth kingdom, it hasn't yet started, but it's about to begin. The new world order is about to begin. If you don't hear it, it's like living in the 1930s and not knowing there was an Adolf Hitler. If you didn't pay attention, you wouldn't know. But I'm going to tell you something. There was already a signal right there that Germany was so debauched. If you went to Berlin or you went to Vienna or wherever you went, you saw how debauched Europe had become. The Europe of today is the Europe of yesterday. It hasn't cleaned up one whit. It didn't turn back to God. It didn't turn back to Jesus. It went on and became part of NATO and part of, you know, the things of this world. This world is going to pass away. This is an evil world. Even the just government is part of the evil world that's going to pass away. I don't know if you know that. Kings of the world, you better be wise. Kiss the Son. You better accept Jesus because the only way you exist right now, you're not helping us. We're helping you. We're the light. We're the salt. If you don't respect us, if you don't leave us alone, don't help us, but don't persecute us and do hostile because you know what? It's not going to hurt us. That flame is good. That won't even hurt us. We'll purify us, but it's going to destroy you. After God has used you to purify us, he's going to throw you off. So there you have it. I hope you're blessed tonight. Sorry it was a little bit sober, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So you need to hear the truth, and the truth will set you free.